It's Friday, December 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Yes, it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. And yes, we are just a few short days away from Christmas. And more importantly, we are just a few short hours away from the start of the 24-hour podcast. Plus, giving away all those cool prizes in the HP Magic giveaway. Going to be talking about more ways in which you can win right after this. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and wow, I tell you, it's late. It's late here for me, even me, to start recording. It's just about 10 p.m. here in Honolulu, but been getting ready, getting the studio ready for some guests that are going to be coming in during our 24-hour podcast that's going to be recorded on Saturday. Plus, I've been just kind of getting things, you know, all lined up and just all the goodies in place. And I'm looking forward to, of course, doing that event on Saturday. And I hope that you will join me for the 24 hours that I am going to be podcasting live. I'm going to be going live starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 8 a.m. Pacific. Of course, we're going to be up for a full 24 hours. I have a great lineup of guests that are going to be on the show during the time. Of course, you can see that full schedule over at geeknewscentral.com. Now, I wanted to share with everyone right off the bat tonight, before we get into any of the content, on how you're going to be able to participate in the 24-hour podcast. Of course, the 24-hour podcast is a benefit to raise money for disabled American veterans, and it's also going to be an event where you can participate along with the audience members that are actually our guests that are going to be on. You're going to be able to talk to some great guests, learn about podcasting, new media, just a whole variety of topics, and you'll be able to see those on the Geek News Central website or over at 24hourpodcast.com. Now, the video stream will be up on both 24hourpodcast.com and geeknewscentral.com. We'll have an IRC chat going within the same browser window. But the real action is going to happen on the line that you'll be able to dial into to actually share your opinions and to discuss things as we go through the entire 24 hours. Now, that's going to be hosted on TalkShoe over at TalkShoe.com. And really, all you need to know is get your TalkShoe account set up. And then on the day of the event, you can Skype in, use a voice IP account, use your telephone, and dial into 724-444-7444. Okay, 724-444-7444. Lots of fours there, but the information will be up on the websites, and the caller ID is 10832. So it's going to ask you for that caller ID. You enter that in. If you've got a PIN, you'll get put your PIN in, and you'll be in, and you'll be able to add to the conversation. I will ask that everyone that dials in, please, please, please don't be listening via your speaker. Put a headset on so that you get the, don't we go get a feedback loop? I will mute people that are either in a public place, if they've got their speaker on their PC turned up way too high and causing a feedback loop, or if you're talking to someone in the background, the whole nine yards. But I'm trying to leave the lines open as much as possible. But we do have to have some semblance of quality control so far as the show goes. And but, you know, don't be a party pooper and be a spoiler for everyone else. Please kind of follow along, especially if you're Skyping in. You might as well be up on headset. If not, mute your mic, okay? Mute your mic from your computer. And then, you know, you can listen via speaker that way. That's all good. But the 24-hour podcast is, again, a year in coming, and it's going to be a great event. I'm really excited about it. I will be going to bed early. Very early tonight, Friday night, that is, to be able to be prepared for the launch here, which I have to be at probably about 5 a.m. Saturday morning. But a lot of you are here for the very first time checking out the podcast to get information and on how you can participate in our HP Magic giveaway. And it's been very interesting to see some of the emails come in that are on our email address where people have been submitting their entries. And, of course, that address is hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com. I can also tell that we've got a number of listeners that have really never listened to a podcast this long, and a number of people complaining about too long. And then I can tell who all the Ohana entries are, of course, if you're part of the Ohana. And if you're a new listener, you're part of the Ohana as well. And we're actually going to be having a time late in the 24-hour podcast where we're going to be talking about Ohana. It'll be a nice discussion that we're going to have and kind of talk about values of Hawaii. So it should be a lot of fun. But how do you get involved and how do you get signed up or get basically your name in the hat to get some of this cool HP gear? Well, matter of fact, a lot of HP gear, $6,000 in HP gear. So what I'm going to do now is go over the three ways that I announced on the last show on how you can win, get at least three entries in. And then throughout this show, I'm going to talk about three ways that you can enter to win. Now, the first way is sign up for our newsletter. Go over to geeknewscentral.com, click on the newsletter link, and just sign up for it. And if you don't have a Gmail account already and you're using some other email address, make sure you validate the email. A number of you have signed up for the newsletter that did not validate your subscription. So that's some of the reasons why some of you are not getting your emails, okay? So make sure you validate your email so that you can get the newsletter. Now, the newsletter contains everything that I talk about during this show and all of the links to all the great content that I cover during the tech portion of the tech pod, or is this podcast. The second way you can do is write a review of Geek News Central on iTunes and send me proof of that review. I know we had a number of people do that. Some were a little snarky, and I don't necessarily, if you're going to write a review, do a nice review. Don't write a review, "I'm writing a review just because I want to win the HP gear." That's not cool. I'd rather not even have you write a review if you're going to do it that way. Third, tell me what you hate and what you love about the podcast. I'm learning what some... There's been some great feedback. Don't get me wrong. Some really, really good feedback. And I'm glad that many of you are being straight off the cuff and basically laying out what you love about the show and what you hate about the show. And that's the best thing about this podcast is I take those recommendations on board. So anyway, hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com is a place where you're going to send the proof that you wrote a review on Geek News Central on iTunes, and also what you hate and love about the podcast. Okay, so you send those in separate emails because I'm trying to keep track of everyone and how many times you're going to be entered. All right, now the fourth way, again, there's going to be up to six ways that you can at least get your name in the hat at least six times, and of course there'll be more if you listen to the 24-hour podcast. Fourth, send me an email that tells me what item you want the most out of that stack of stuff that HP's given away, that $6,000 worth of gear. And also, what computer you're going to be giving away to a friend, family member, needy person. So let me know what you're going to do with the final item, one of the items that you're going to share the wealth with. So that's the fourth way. Now, throughout the podcast, I'm going to be telling you about two more. And these are really important because, the more times you're entered, the more times you have chances to win. So, all right, let me go ahead and look at the rest of my list here. Of course, we've talked about the 24-hour podcast, talked about this event being a charity event for raising money for disabled American veterans. You'll see that there's been a PayPal link put up on the website. Go ahead and send in your PayPal donations now. Of course, if you've pledged already, we'd appreciate you go ahead and enter your payments there. We're going to be doing a tech podcast roundtable during the 24-hour podcast. Just look at the schedule. Make sure you're tuned in during that time. We're going to be talking about all the cool Christmas stuff that you may or may not have considered already. And if you're doing last-minute shopping, some great gift items for dad, mom, and the kids. So make sure you check the tech podcast roundtable. It'll be going down at Saturday. It's going to be at our normal time, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. Hey, got an email from Steve Leon. He is the organizer and head honcho over at Showstoppers, and he saw my article up on Digital Experience, and I knew we were already confirmed to go to Steven's event at when we were out for CES, and I'm really excited about going to that event. And you know, Steven understands the value that we bring to the table, and so I appreciate his continued support of bloggers and podcasters and making sure that those folks that are out there and get into his show and meet the vendors that are going to be there. So applause for Steve Leon and Showstoppers. And we're going to, of course, be talking more about the Consumer Electronics Show here after the 24-hour podcast and get everybody ramped up for what's going on. All right, let me look at the clock here. We're already 11 minutes, and let's go ahead and continue to move on, make sure we don't fall behind today. And I will say this. One person has guessed correctly what the item is that I have here that you all get a reveal on Saturday morning. One person has guessed correctly. He has been informed. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave it open, and we'll give away some consolation prizes. So all you really have to do is look at the 24-hour podcast website at 24hourpodcast.com, and maybe you will figure it out. Now, I've made it real easy. Real easy, okay? So next two, they get it right, you guys will get consolation prizes, okay? Okay, what else here have I got cooking for you? Hey, let's take care of a little business. Hey, if you're, you know, getting ready here and you're a last-minute shopper kind of like I am, how many of you go out and shop the night before Christmas? Go out on Christmas Eve? I'm the type that does some final shopping on Christmas Eve. I just do it. And it's probably, you know, not the wisest thing to do and fight the crowds. But if you don't get out and you've got someone in your life that is, been looking to do some creative stuff, hey, GoDaddy.com. Pick them up a shared hosting account. Get them signed up. Sign them their name up on the account. And, you know, basically give them a login and password. And get them a blog, set them up a blog or something through one of their very easy ways to set up a blog, one-click setup in the shared hosting account. And, start a blog for the new year. And give a blog to a friend. Of course, you can do that through a shared hosting account over at GoDaddy.com. And, of course, you can save a lot of money by using one of my promo codes. Of course, get a domain name shared. You can get a domain name, you can get an SSL certificate, you can get a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server. But on those shared hosting accounts, when you get to the checkout counter, use the promo code TODD20, T-O-D-D-20. That will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts, okay? Great savings there. Of course, the promo code TODD will save you 10% anytime. And then Geek5 will save you 15% on orders of $20 or more. So thank GoDaddy for being a long-time sponsor here at Geek News Central. One of the things that one of the people that submitted something commented about says, I love everything about the show but the ads. The ads is what keeps me in business. It's what keeps my lights on, keeps my family fed, keeps the me doing what I'm doing with all these special events. Really, couldn't do it without it. It would be a very different situation around here without the sponsors. So, I haven't had to say that in a long, long time, and I don't really have to justify it. But I know there's a lot of new listeners on the show, and it's important that you guys know that, this is what I do for a living. So it's important that we take care of the sponsors. All right. And of course, our Tech Podcast Roundtable and our longtime sponsor over there is GoToMeeting. And you're going to be able to see on Saturday how we use GoToMeeting in a live and interactive event. And with GoToMeeting, you and your attendees can join a meeting in seconds without technical headaches. You can deliver instant sales demonstrations and customer training sessions right from your own computer. And believe me, with the economic times the way they are today, this is a tool to have. Share presentations or programs with anyone, anywhere, and avoid the high cost of travel. You and your attendees can also use GoToMeeting's integrated voice IP conferencing service to make sure everyone in your meeting is on the same page. GoToMeeting is so easy that you'll have your first meeting running in seconds. And what I love about this product, it just works. It works every time. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days with unlimited online meetings. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com. /techpodcast. Go to meeting, online meetings made easy. All right, got a lot of great content for you tonight. And of course, as always, I want to say again, thanks to the Ohana that's listening to the show. And of course, I'm up on Ustream. Got a few people up on there as well. So hey, yeah, to all those of you that are on Ustream, which we've got a small crowd. It's pretty late here. So, but thanks for coming out and hanging out with us. And of course, if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. Where the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Send your voicemail comments about the show. And we would definitely appreciate any feedback that you give back on us and on any of the commentary that we have tonight. So let me go ahead and look at my little list here. I think I've got all through it. Of course, I've got a couple more hints to give you tonight on how you guys can win that $6,000 worth of prizes from HP and their HP Magic giveaway. Make sure you, if you're going to be participating again in the 24-hour podcast, you look at the podcast participation instructions. The website will transform a little bit tomorrow in anticipation of doing the 24-hour show. You'll see some changes to the front page. Not a lot, but it basically will be stretching some things out to fit all this metadata in that you guys are want to participate in. But let me go ahead and load Feed Demon here. And if you are a Microsoft Windows user and you are still using IE and have not gotten the update that was pushed by Microsoft last night, cease and desist. Stop using IE right now. They've even told you to stop using IE. Now, they did an emergency patch. So if you do an auto update and make sure that everything's updated, you'll probably be okay. But when Microsoft comes out and says, you are in serious danger, use one of our competitors' products, they really meant it. It was a massive, massive vulnerability, and it was exploited in a big way. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why the number of Firefox and Opera and Safari and all those different browser categories continue to climb while IE continues to dramatically decrease. Now, I know that being on a techie site at Geek News Central, we see a huge number of, people using alternative browsers with Firefox, of course, dominating in a huge, huge way. Now, Chrome is starting to make an impact as well. I'm starting to see that on my site as well. So I'm going to have a link up here to some information that the folks that actually Ace Adulzer put out on his website, and then I'll have some stuff later that was put up later by Microsoft and some information on the patch. Hey, at SciOrg.com, NASA's Kepler spacecraft is ready to ship to Florida. Engineers are getting ready to pack NASA's Kepler spacecraft into a container and ship it off to a launch site at Cape Canaveral. The mission is scheduled to launch on March 5th, and it's going to seek answers on an age-old question. And that age-old question is, are there other Earths in space? Now, I wasn't really up to speed on this spacecraft before. More than 100,000 stars for signatures of planets of various sizes and orbital distance. And it has the ability to really determine which ones are rocky planets like Earth, including those known. It's late here, so yes, I am starting off right away destroying the English language. But anyway, this is a good article released by Jet Propulsion Laboratory. But over on SciOrg.com, I'll have the link up to that in the show notes, of course, that you'll get in email. It'll be on the website. Over on Ars Technica, they're talking about a suggestion to the Obama administration. And, of course, they're predicting that they're going to come forth with a multi-hundred billion dollar stimulus package, probably closer to $1 trillion, I would think, is probably what they're going to be introducing. But they are suggesting that they put $44 billion of the 2009 stimulus package into broadband, meaning broadband growth. Now, who are they going to give that money to, and who's going to own it after it's built? That's the question I have. You know, if they're going to put $44 billion into improving and building out more infrastructure in the United States, I'm going to tell you what, if my taxpayers' dollars are going to that, then no company, it better be free. Better be free. And, you know, maybe a small management fee, but and this should not be something that should be owned by any of the major carriers, that's for sure. But they're saying that most of the money should be pumped into the infrastructure side of the internet, and basically making it there's while there excess supply of internet connectivity. So I think this is a good idea, and we'll see what happens here if the administration comes forth with something like that. Now they're talking about a $100 billion, what's called an EDUCAUSE, an EDU cause plan for big broadband. And this is another thing that they've got planned, or I don't know how they're going to pay for all this, but probably all our taxes are going to go up. But the, you know, they're going to be putting a lot of money into educational broadband. So we will see what happens with that. Those of you that are using extra virgin olive oil, hey, good on you. A new report is saying that good quality extra virgin olive oil contains health relevant chemicals that can trigger cancer cell death. This new research published in the open access journal BMC Cancer sheds more light on the suspected association between olive oil-rich Mediterranean diets and the reductions in breast cancer risk. So this is a good one. I have it linked up there in the show notes. All right, folks. I have, you know, I almost changed my mind today and decided to change from our DAV, Disabled American Veteran fundraiser, to a new fundraiser. Maybe we'll have to take this up after the new year. And I'm very serious about this fundraiser for the new year, okay? Did you know that NASA is looking to sell the retired space shuttles? They're up for grabs. All we need to raise, all we need to raise is $42 million. Yep, that's all we have to raise. Think we can do that? $42 million. Now, got to figure out where we're going to put the thing. And then we have to build a building around it so we can charge a mission and have people go through it. Can you imagine? If I was a rich guy, I'd be like, oh, yeah. Huh. Oh, can I put my bid in? I'm telling you. I think, wouldn't it be cool to own a retired space shuttle? I think that would be just like, wow. Now, sadly, this does not include the engines. I guess NASA was worried that someone would pull this thing out of the hangar, put it on a stick, and light the torch and go for a ride. But the $42 million does include the $6 million to ferry the spacecraft atop a modified jumbo jet to the closest major airport. Now, we're going to have to find an airport that's big and highways big enough to move this thing. So that'll be the battle cry for 2009 is raise money to buy a space shuttle. But no, regardless, I'm sure museums are going to be fighting worldwide to, or within the United States at least, to get one of those. I'm sure the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, they will not have a problem getting one. Okay, some pretty cool stuff on Google Earth now. And it's absolute, these pictures are amazing. It's almost more real than life. New York City is breathtaking. If you look at Google Earth and look at New York City, many of the photos that they have in there now are textured. These are real photos textured on 3D models in Google Earth's latest update. And it's simply nothing short of amazing. It really is. And, you know, with Google Earth, you can fly around in between the buildings. I mean, it's amazing, folks. They have done a remarkable job with this, and you'll definitely want to check it out. It's really, really cool. So I have the link up to that in show notes. This was courtesy of Gizmodo, but this is all over the internet today, multiple sites, but I'll link this up. This is the first place I had found it. All right, if you are a Motorola employee, all I can say is I'm sorry, but Motorola moved to freeze pensions, salaries, as well as take further steps to conserve cash. They have said in 2009, they are not going to be putting money in or matching funds in 401k accounts and a whole variety of other things that cuts and benefits. That is, that's got to be tough to take. You know, you've already gotten hit hard enough with the stock market being in the pits, but now with them deciding to close its pension plan to new employees, and they're going to, you know, essentially kill matching contributions on 401k. They're saying that they can save about $116 million in the next year. And they also said that there'll be no salary increases, of course. Now, the CEO has decided that he's going to take a 25% pay cut. Now, I'm sure this guy is not going to hurt very badly, because I think he earned like $4.2 million in 2008. So really a 25% cut, just a cool million off. So, I guess he's still worth that. What I say is, you make money, you get paid. You don't make any money for the company, you get enough money to live like the rest of us do. Okay. Paycheck to paycheck. All right. Over on dailymail.co.uk. And we knew this was coming, but didn't know when it was going to be released. For £130,000, you can earn what is that in dollars? I don't even know. I guess $250,000, something like that. I guess, of course, the way the pound has got hammered today with the euro, I don't think its value is much more than the dollar right now. But world's first flying car on the road from next year, again, yours for only £130,000. And the way this thing works is, it parks in your garage, all folded up. You get in it, you drive to the airport, you push a little button, the wings come down, and as long as you have a pilot's license, you take off and you can fly up to, I guess, like 400 miles at 115 miles per hour. That's cruising speed. And when you land, you just press another button, the wings fold up, and by that time you probably need a little gas. So you're thinking, do I have to get ab gas or whatever I have to go? Well, you don't really have to do anything. All you do is just go to the normal petrol station and pick up some fuel as you would normally fuel your car. It's powered by a 100 horsepower Rotex 912S 4-stroke engine. Very interesting. And it's 19-foot. It's a 19-foot long plane, and it looks pretty cool. And I think it's got room for two people. That's what it looks like, and probably a small overnight bag. I would love to have one of these. But, this is just a, how should we put it? This is a, someone's cruising for a bruising in this thing. It's all good until someone tries to, there's not always airports close. Of course, you can land at any small Muni airport. But, if you live in the country, guarantee you there's going to be people landing these things on dirt roads and then getting wiped out because they hit a tree or something. You just mark my words. It won't be the first year, but it'll be after these things get in a few people's garages. This should come as no surprise. Study is showing that young people are watching less TV. Young Americans aren't watching TV like they used to. They're saying that those that are age 14 to 25 just watch just a little under 10.5 hours of TV a week. That compares to 15.1 hours for those belonging to the Gen X group, 26 to 42, 19.2 hours for baby boomers, 43 to 61, which I fit into. Gosh, I'm on the tail end of that baby boomer. As a matter of fact, I'm at the very end of the baby boomer age, but I don't watch 19.2 hours. I'm lucky if I watch 2 hours of TV a week. But, of course, those that are older, and this should not be unexpected, those that are at the 62 to 75 range watch about 20 hours of television a week. They're retired, and, they can do whatever they want to do, so this should not be surprising. But I wonder if this trend will track out as these people get older. Hey, question that's being asked out there is, by a lot of people, is can they resell their digital MP3s? Now, today here, at least in the United States, used CD shops, it used to be used LP shops, you can go in and buy used music really easy. There's, every town has a used music store. And that's something that's been legal for a very long time. And it all was derived from an individual who put in there a book that they published that the resale value, even when the book was resold later, should be sold no less than a dollar. And this was back in 1908. And that went through a big legal fight. And what is from that 1908 court decision is what has driven the legality of stores that can sell used CDs. Now, the question people are asking is, can digital media be resold. And the problem that the RIAA and these groups are having, like ASCAP, BMI, so forth, they're saying that because the digital copy is pure, it really doesn't apply. And, of course, that's their definition, as if you had a CD with a case and maybe scratched up a little bit, and you're actually getting a used CD as compared to this digitally perfect music. I think they're not going to be able to stop it, to be honest with you. So we'll see what happens with this. But would you like to sell your digital media? Now, the question is, if you've ripped it, how can you really sell it? I think it's moot point. I don't think people will be doing it. But would you sell your MP3 collection? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't think I would. I've got a big collection, but I don't think I would. All right, over on CNET, what Gmail does better than its competitors? And then when I saw this article, I thought, because I'm a big Gmail fan, even though I use Thunderbird primarily, I still log into Gmail from time to time and use the webmail. But here's some things they're saying that makes Gmail better than its competitors. It controls spam better. So it says it's has a much better job blocking spam than Yahoo Mail, Windows Live, Hotmail, AOL Mail, and so forth. The Google Apps, of course, the apps that you can add to your mail application. There's different filters that Gmail has. And, of course, the only thing that is kind of annoying is the ads that pop up on the page, but they don't put them in a place that's really intrusive. So overall, they think that Gmail does a better job than its competitors because even though they have its ad supported, it's not as intrusive as some of the other applications out there, or web applications. So what do you guys think? I know there's a number of you that are big fans of Yahoo Mail. What are you guys using and why? A good question to feed back to me is, why don't you use Gmail? Why are you on Yahoo? Is it because you've been there and you just don't want to move? What was your reasoning that made you stay with a non-Gmail service? And, of course, you can send me feedback to geeknews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Hey, Yitz, I see you on the on Ustream. Aloha, how are you? Okay, folks, let's go ahead and give you that second hint on how you can score this cool gear from HP. Now, I already talked about the first four earlier in the show, so this is the fifth way, okay? The fifth way is to sign up for an account on Blueberry at blubrry.com or sign up for an account over at Tech Podcast at techpodcast.com. Of course, you can find a link to either of those sites on my website at Geek News Central. Send proof of that account or send me an image, attach an image in your email. If you already have an account at Blueberry or an account at Tech Podcast, simply log into the account and do a screen capture and email that to me at hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com, hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com. Now, what the purpose of this is for those of you that have never been over there, this is a great place to find new podcasts, and we'd love to hear your feedback on the site if you've never went over there and used it before. Go ahead and explore around and check out the shows. Subscribe to a couple. Use our MyCast system to build custom RSS feeds, and let us know what you think of either Blueberry or Tech Podcasts and what it would take to keep you coming back on a more consistent basis. I know many of you just go over and sign up just to be entered, but really would like to hear your feedback on the site. So again, sign up for an account on blueberry.com or techpodcast.com. Send proof of that account or send image to hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com. All right, a little later in the show, I'll give you the sixth way that you can be entered to win for the giveaway. But for now, let's go ahead and move on. And parents, if you want your young children to get educated on what's going on and how Santa Claus delivers all of his gifts overnight, you need to have them listen right now. So as you're getting them rounded up, let me just tell you that this is a very scientific way that Santa Claus makes all his deliveries in one night. And I'm sure that you've got the children listening. So children, did you know, and probably the question is asked, how does Santa Claus get the make all those deliveries in one night? Well, he exploits the space time continuum. You know, and this is something that has puzzled many of us for many years. Even when I was a child, I asked, how could Santa Claus make all those deliveries overnight? Well, he uses exploiting the space-time continuum. And many people ask, how does he carry all that stuff? Well, what he does is he uses nanotechnology, and he actually builds the presents as he goes. So he doesn't have to carry all that stuff. So there's a great article about this that you can read up on over at dailymail.co.uk, where you can get the full details for. So I hope you enjoy that. All right. All right, moving on to a more technical nature. There's a great article over on smashingmagazine.com talking about 8 useful WordPress SQL hacks. And if you are a WordPress user, as I am about to be, and matter of fact, I'm probably going to be sending out, Brian sent me the Rev2 Geek News Central mockup. I think it's very, very close to where I want it to be. So I will probably be sending that out tomorrow. What I would like everyone to do that gets that, please comment and mark it up if you want to mark it up with some graphics tools, and send it back to me by Sunday afternoon. Okay, so I'll get it out tomorrow, but get the get your comments back by Sunday afternoon so I can give Brian the final ARK whether or not we're ready to go by Monday, or actually take on some of your guys' suggestions. So again, please don't share this this new design. I think everybody's going to like it. I've showed a couple of people it already, and they're like, yeah, it's cleaner. It's easier to read. I think it's going to be good. I really am. And there's a few tweaks that I think we can make on it, but you guys will have a good time with it. But so when I saw this 8 useful WordPress SQL hacks, I'm like, oh, okay, let's check this out. And it talks about creating a backup in your database, batch delete post revisions, talking about erasing spam comments in seconds, changing post attribution, manually resetting a password, changing your WordPress domain name, and so forth and so on. These are some good ones here. And some real easy tricks by making getting access to your SQL database that WordPress creates through MySQL. And but anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes. And if you want to go ahead and play around with these tweaks. Hey, if you are in the used equipment business, especially the used IT equipment business, you know what? Right now, you guys are king of the hill because there's high interest by tech firms to buy used IT equipment to kind of stretch their dollars further and what they've got limited to in their budgets in 2009. So this is a great – if you're a company owner – this is a great way to if you need to stretch those dollars a little farther, you need to go look for used IT equipment resellers. And many of them work in tandem with authorized resellers on many levels, helping their customers procure branded equipment at a lower price to fit the budget to purchase customers' excess inventory. And with some of the dot-coms going out of business, and I love this stuff. I really do. With the auctions after dot-coms go bust are – oh, they're a geek's delight, really, because, you know, if you have a need for like 10 flat screen monitors, or you have a need for 10 computers, you know, buy a batch of 10, and then, you know, get a couple of your friends together, and each of you take a couple of them each. You get them dirt cheap at these online auctions. So I'll keep you advised when I see these auctions come up from the dot-com bust that are forthcoming, and we all can really, you know, kind of benefit for people's wool. And what I like about it, too, is you can get full-fledged servers in a fraction of the cost and, you know, basically put them in a cage and have them up running and doing web service. But, you know, basically very powerful servers, very low cost, and it really makes financial sense. Over at findtaxschoolstaxonline.com, and I really hate websites that do that, have a domain like that. 100 terrific mind hacks to make the most of your brain. And as people get older, you know, the brain needs to be exercised in many ways. And so they give you about 100 different ideas on how you can exercise your brain. And supposedly, these are exercises that are good for you, that will, you know, allow you to have a longer sustained quality of life when you get older and your brain starts to slip, as many do. And I think I'm already in that slip mode already, but so I'll be paying attention to these mind hacks to make the most of my brain. And I hope you guys do too. All right, over on Information Week, I told you earlier in the show that I would be linking up to some more articles about the Critical Internet Explorer hack that's out there. And of course, they're talking about the patch that Microsoft released, and it's for like all versions that are kind of current for Microsoft. And really, if you're on version 5 or 6, you're not current. But if you've got those versions, those still are exploitable versions of IE. So I have this linked up in the show notes. You guys can check that out. All right, there's an interesting article coming off Reuters. And of course, I don't know, Reuters is kind of funny about people linking to their articles, but I'll go ahead and talk about it anyway. Scientists have found out through some magnetic mapping of the Earth that there are holes in Earth's magnetic cloak that let the sun in. It says the Earth's protective magnetosphere has two large holes that are letting in disruptive solar winds, scientists said on Tuesday. Understanding how these holes form will help them better predict the electrical storms that cause the power grid blackouts and the aurora activity that will peak in 2012 as sunspots hit their maximum level. So this is kind of cool. Now, do they go on to say where this is at? It doesn't. So obviously you don't want to be above or below one of those holes in the Earth's magnetic cloak, because it doesn't necessarily couldn't be good to be there. But anyway, this I'll have this linked up in the show notes, and you guys can check it out. This next article is, I had to share this with you guys because I'm thinking about my probable trip coming up to Asia. And my wife's parents have this machine that sits on the floor that it runs. You put your feet over, your bare foot over, and it gives you a little foot massage. It's really, really good. And they've got a real, I guess, expensive one, and it really does a great job. But these Japanese foot massaging machines are responsible, I guess, for killing a couple of people. And when I read this, I was like, how could a foot massage machine kill a couple of people? Only in Japan will people do weird stuff for these things and cause themselves to be incapacitated by the device and end up dying. But here's the key. If you have one of these, and I'm sure nobody listening to the show has one, and if you do, I'll probably freak out. Just don't take the cover off it, okay? That's the key. All right, let me go ahead and move on to some more cool stuff. Hey, the ultimate gift for Dad for Christmas, of course, is a luxury caravan. And I'm looking at one here in Gizmodo that is just absolutely amazing. Now, of course, you're going to have to hit the lotto to pay for this thing. But how many times have you seen these motorhomes rolling down the highway? And, they catch the motorhomes that tour, rock bands go on, and someone that's retired and has more money than common sense. But you oftentimes see a vehicle being towed behind these things. No more, my folks. They've got a motorhome now where you can park your car on a little platform. It sucks it into the motorhome and raises it up. And your vehicle basically rides kind of out of sight and out of mind in the belly of the motor coach. Cool, I must say so myself. And it doesn't affect the actual interior when they're doing that. So pretty impressive. I'm sure it comes with a very impressive price tag as well. And by the way, you don't see those in Hawaii. We don't have those here. So very rare do you see anything that's bigger than a kind of like a fifth wheel trailer. Okay, if you want to get an idea how big the Consumer Electronics Show is, I want to draw your attention to one picture that shows all the gear that Sony is taking to CES. And just look at this pack out. Now, I've got a pack out here that will probably be about 150 pounds. With one bag of clothes and two bags of gear. So I have to, pay a little extra to have my stuff shipped on the airplane. But I'm looking at the pack out that Sony's taking to CES. Oh, my goodness. No, this is not something that just a crew of one or two are going to haul in. I can't imagine the crew that it's going to take to support all this, but I'll have this linked up in the show notes, but it's kind of interesting to see how they prepare. They're in a warehouse. That gives you an idea how much stuff they've got. They're in a warehouse having this stuff packed out to get ready to go to CES here in a few short weeks. Now, this is the type of thing that you need to have after the holidays, when everyone's getting their credit card bills for their excess that they spent during Christmas time. There's a little bit of a prankster device. It's called the Phantom Keystroker V2. Now, the Phantom Keystroker has gotten an update. Now, this is the original one was out a year or so more ago. And if you have a friend in the office that you know have play little tricks on from time to time, all you got to do is strategically get this plugged into one of their USB ports. And this thing, this little stick, is set to doing all kinds of annoying things, randomly typing keystrokes, moving the mouse, turning all caps lock on, very random stuff, or all combinations of, and a little bit of time delays. This is a cool little stocking stuffer for the little geek in your house. That definitely is. Hey, the FAA has approved construction of the new Spaceport America in Las Cruces, New Mexico. This is going to be Virgin Galactic's future home. And the design for the spaceport has been in place since 2007, and it's going to be where Spaceship Two and White Knight launch systems are to take people on their little expensive joyrides into the edge of space. And so anyway, they've got approval by the FAA to build the spaceport in anticipation of space tourism taking off here. So very, very interesting. Okay, T-Mobile. If you're a T-Mobile customer, effective immediately, T-Mobile is eliminating the $18 fee it charges customers to upgrade to a new phone. So looks like if you're looking to make that upgrading, save yourself $18 over the holiday period or thus forward. Moving on over at MaximumPC.com, we're all looking to save money. And, you know, when it comes to saving money, it's time to thinking about building your own computers again and trying to get the most bang for your buck. But Maximum PC has a very detailed article on how to build a really kick-butt $800 gaming PC. And they go through all the steps. And if you've never built a PC before, this is a great way to learn how to build one. But they build on a pretty impressive machine here. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. And again, it's only $800 to build one out. And they take you through all the steps and the pieces that you need to buy one and kind of go through the whole process. So check that article out at MaximumPC.com. Link will be up in the show notes. All right. Some of you that are Mac users are not real happy with the announcement that Apple, after this year's Macworld, will no longer be attending Macworld. They're pulling out. And that's got the Apple fan base very, very, very upset. And I guess, you know, it's a sign of the times. And it's actually kind of goes along with another story I'm going to talk about here in a few minutes. But, I can understand it. When people go to Macworld, and I've never been, but I've heard a lot of the stories. It's kind of like a family reunion. It's a, you know, all the it's a big Apple fanboy fan fest. And it's, you know, kind of a social event. Well, with Apple having been to the event for 25 years, their announcement to no longer attend it, and it's actually not, you know, Macworld is not put on by Apple. It's put on by Macworld Magazine. So they, with this pullout, they're saying that they have their ability, Apple's ability to reach their audience through traditional means, in other words, through advertising, through the internet, is much greater than them expending the dollars they have to do to go to Macworld. So they're punching out. This goes along with a story that, and I think what it kind of leads into, it goes into a story that Scoble has put up, where he thinks that bloggers and social networks are killing the big shows. Now, the Consumer Electronics Show, I'm really going to be interested to see what happens this year and how many. I'm sure many of those companies have already spent their budgets, had to pay money. I'm sure many of the companies will be at the show. But the question is, will they be back in 2010? That's the question Scoble's asking. He's saying, do these big shows deliver the ROI for the companies that they need to justify going to these events? It's just like what we do at Raw Voice when we're looking at going at events. we look at what the ROI is going to be, because there has to be an ROI. If you're going to spend that kind of money and go, there has to be some return on the dollar. But with the way the net is today, almost anyone can cover CES without going to CES. So going to CES is part of the experience, I guess, for a better word, and going and meeting with the companies and getting the one-on-ones. Whereas if you are not in the Valley, like I'm here in Hawaii, it's not real easy for me to get invites to big major events and bigger major announcements where some of the mainland, the lower 48 bloggers get invited to. Though I understand the strategy that they're using by inviting bloggers into special events. You know, with the millions of dollars that they spend on these booths, and they have to bring the employees and house them and feed them and per diem and everything that goes along with that, they really have to look at what the spend is. Now, a lot of companies are going to be cutting back on the number of people they take there this year. So here's the question I have for all of you. Do you think that services like Ustream, Quick, Kite, YouTube, Flixwagon, Viddler, Vimeo, SmugMug, and blogs, where people like I put content to, are killing the shows? I'd love to hear your feedback on that at geeknews@gmail.com. And also, the prediction Scobo's making is he's wondering if there's going to be an event for 2009. He doesn't think there's a chance that CES is going to make it to 2011. He says blame it on the bloggers. Well, if any indications are from like the digital experience folks, I think they expect to be around for a long time, and the bloggers just thumb the nose at them. So, you know, maybe they're onto something. Maybe they figure the bloggers will kill their show. So they're, you know, that's why they have Pepcom has to have those folks kind of locked down on who attends. But do you guys think CES is going to survive, or do you think that show will resolve into the world that Comdex did, and that most of the announcements and stuff will come from blogs and press releases and special events? It's probably a good question to explore as we move forward here. Hey, Sprint has launched a 3G/4G modem. And I said, oh, a new modem. Let me look at this. Well, anyway, in anticipation of the growing footprint of its WiMAX 4G service, they're calling the beleaguered mobile operator Sprint launched a 3G/4G dual mode device. Of course, if the only people that are lucky right now is those in Baltimore. If you are in Baltimore, you have 4G service. Now, Portland is going to launch very soon. So I'm hoping between Clearwire and Sprint that they get 4G here to Hawaii sooner than later. We know we've got Clearwire service here already, and it's not that fast, so I'm looking forward to much faster service through the expansion of their offering. But we will see. But there is some concern that the credit crunch is going to slow the Clear rollout and maybe hurt Sprint even more. Hey, Kay, over on MakeUseOf.com, again over at MakeUseOf.com, Google's top 10 hidden treasure. And, you know, this is a little lighthearted fun for all of you that may be down for the holidays, feeling a little blues. This is some fun stuff you could do that Google has kind of hid around. You guys know about the Google Earth Flight Simulator, right? Well, if you didn't, there's some cool things that you can do in Google on some of Google sites that you never knew was possible. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. All right, here's an amazing story. Facebook, now hold on to your hats here, and tell me if you guys think this is a real number. And this comes from InsideFacebook.com. I don't know if this is the official blog of Facebook, but kind of looks like it. Says that Facebook is growing by over 600,000 users a day. They're saying growing by over 600,000 users a day. I find it hard to believe that they're growing that fast. Do the math. It says Facebook has been growing at around 300,000 to 400,000 active user days for most of the fourth quarter, but in recent weeks, 600 or even as much as 700,000 new users a day are signing up. And it says if Facebook continues at this rate, it could add up to 20 million new users in December and reach 200 million active users by March. And they're saying that 70% of that growth is happening outside of the United States. 13 million users update their statuses at least once a day. 2.5 million users become fans of pages each day. 700 million photos are uploaded to the site each day. That's crazy. 4 million videos are uploaded each month. 15 million pieces. You know, now think about this. Think about this. How do you reach all those people? How do I get my little speck on the internet noticed by a fraction of those people? 700 million photos. 4 million videos are uploaded each month. So here I'm doing a video for an hour. How do I get that noticed? How do I get new subscribers from Facebook? Are you a Facebook expert? You want to help me? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Maybe we can do a little paid gig or something. Okay, the iPhone is Apple's netbook. Almost half of all traffic from Wi-Fi networks are coming from the iPhone. They're saying traffic going to websites are coming from, I don't know how they can tell this, Wi-Fi requests from the Apple iPhone. How can they tell? Angelo, are you listening? How can you tell if a request to a website is coming from an iPhone that is doing it via Wi-Fi versus the network on AT&T? I don't understand how they can tell that. I didn't think that was in the actual refer thing, that there was in the websites. I don't know. I guess, but they can say that that's what it's tracking at. But Hue Wi-Fi utilization by iPhone users, that shouldn't be surprising. Of course, that's followed by Sony, HTC, REM, Nokia, and others. Okay, have you heard about this the cease and desist that Burger King issued via Twitter? Well, it appears that because now it's okay to serve papers to someone through Facebook. You heard about the people that got their home foreclosure issued through Facebook. Well, Burger King has decided to send a cease and desist on Twitter to the user called Whopper Virgins for an unauthorized use of a trademark. What is Whopper Virgins? I don't even know. I guess this is some sort of advertising campaign that Burger King is doing. I'll be honest with you. I haven't ate at a Burger King in probably 2 or 3 years. I haven't seen a commercial on TV in probably 10 from them. What is Whopper Virgins? Does anyone eat at Burger King know what that is? I don't even know. Obviously, they didn't do a good job in letting people know, because I haven't seen any of that ads or any of that information in that campaign. But someone did. Some Burger King fan did. But anyway, they did a cease and desist of using the Whopper Virgins. What do you guys think of a company that is trademarking keyword searches and going after people that are running ads against those keywords? Have you heard about that? Type in like any keyword and then whatever the Google ads that are on the top of the page. Have you heard of companies issuing takedown notices for those ads based upon what people have searched for? Have you heard about that kind of stuff? I'd love to hear if you have, because I've had some exposure to it. All right. Anti-driving while yakking tech phone. Doesn't make sense. Techter has an article about a phone. I don't know if we talked about it in the last show. But anyway, how many of you don't want your kids talking on the phone while they're driving? Well, some folks have come up with a phone that actually has the car key embedded into it. So it only when it's plugged into the car and the car's running, the phone only allows calls to 911 and pre-approved numbers such as the driver's parents. But it will not, basically the key comes out of the phone, goes into the car, and then the phone is disabled from making multiple calls. So this is one way parents are using a device to control what their kids are doing while they're driving. Right now, I know everyone out there buys all the software that they're using, and really I hope you do. But I guess the folks over at USB Overdrive X, this is a Mac app, have just basically kind of give up, but they're shaming people. And what they're doing is there's a little pop-up here. When people put in a hacked registration code, they pop up a message that says, "Your registration code is a pirate one. We can't stop the hackers that generate codes, so we'll accept your registration anyway. However, there's one thing you should know. You're not stealing money from the big guys. This time, you're stealing money from people who count on your honesty to make a living. To hackers, we can play this game forever, but it's not fun. More cracks, more checks. Why don't we stop here? We already accept your codes. What else should we do? And a little link on there says, shame on me. Wow. So if you're using a pirate code to register a piece of software, you know it's calling home to mama. So what would you think if you got that? Would that shame you into buying the application, or you just continue to move forward? You can send your anonymous emails to geeknews@gmail.com. And if you want to talk about it, of course, live, 619-342-7365. All right, the MPAA is reining in illicit movie sites, downloading unabated, though. The Motion Picture Association of America sued three alleged illicit movie sites on Wednesday, bringing to 13 the number of MPAA lawsuits since 2007 challenging download sites. The latest copyright infringement lawsuits target U.S.-based CampuSist, Movies on Demand, and SSJuarez.com. So they're going after these sites one by one, but they're saying that downloading continues unabated. All right, well, that wraps me up on my regular content tonight, and I do have some emails to go into. And I think before that, let me go ahead and tell you the sixth way you can win this HP Magic Gear. And this is something I've been thinking about for a long time, and it's something that I would have to have a significant supporting from in order to consider doing it. How many of you are familiar with Coast to Coast AM? It's a show that's produced by George Norrie. It actually started out by Art Bell. And they have, it's largely an interview show where they bring on people that talks about UFOs, talks about the occult, talks about just a whole variety of whack topics. I mean, it's talks about ghosts. They talk about, I mean, anything that's weird, they talk about. And I thought for a long, long time of doing a similar show. It would take a lot of legwork, and I would need production support to do it, because there's a lot of legwork and lining up guests. But if I could get a partner in crime to do that, I think it would be a show worth doing on a weekly basis. So if I were to do a coast-to-coast type podcast, would you tune in, first of all? And second of all, if I did that, would you be interested in being a producer for the show? And if you are or not, love to hear your feedback. So first of all, the way to enter, by sending an email to hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com, is to let me know if I were to do a coast to coast type podcast, if you would tune in or not. And second of all, if you're interested in being a producer, tell me why you would want to be the producer, and what you could bring to the table to make that happen. So this is a show idea I've been thinking about for a long time. It would not substitute this show. It would be a show that I would record on the weekends. And, of course, this show is recorded Tuesday and Thursday nights here in Hawaii. Of course, released, Monday and Thursday nights, and released on Tuesday and Friday. So this is just something I would do on the weekends once a week. But I would need production assistance. And it would be a revenue share type deal. We'd, of course, get a sponsor right away for the show. And then we would share the revenue between the producer and me. But the producer would probably have to do that most of the heavy lifting, and me hosting it would be easier. Or maybe a co-host even. But I cannot do the production work myself. So anyway, if I do that, send me an email whether or not if you would tune in or not. Again, hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com. So let me go over the six ways real quick. Number one, you sign up for the newsletter. Two, write a review of Geek News Central on iTunes and send me proof of that review. Three, tell me what you hate and what you love about the podcast. Fourth, send me an email that tells me what item you want most out of the HP Magic giveaway and what computer you'll be giving away. Fifth, sign up for an account on Blueberry or Tech Podcast and send proof of that account, or send in basically an image. If you're already a member and you just log in, just send me an image. You don't have to create a new account. And six is the Coast to Coast thing. So six ways you can win. Send the emails to hpmagic@geeknewscentral.com, and we'll get you entered. Now, on the 24-hour podcast, we will be given some more hints. So there'll be some additional ways to win. And I don't know how often I'm going to do it. Maybe we'll do something every hour. I don't know. I don't think so. I think, well, it'll be, you know, on some maybe special events and stuff. But at least you're going to have a chance to win six times. Now, for the people that hang the full 24 hours with me on the 24-hour podcast, hey, it's something special for you guys too, okay? So, but you got to hang the whole time with me. All right, let me go ahead and get into the email here. And see if I can blast through this before we run out of time here. Got an email from Joe. He says, hey, regarding the RIAA having to file suit, the reason the RIAA is sending out these extortion letters is because they don't want to go to trial. Imagine if every person they contacted said, I'm not paying you anything. Your collection efforts are illegal. If you think I've broken the law, you're going to have to sue me. The RIAA would have to pay court costs and attorney's fees just to file each and every one of those, regardless of whether or not they recovered fees in a judgment. They still have to pay them up front, and they actually hope to collect them if there is a judgment, which is not guaranteed. In addition, each time they take one of these to court, it further defines the ability to continue these suits and how they have to approach them, and the further definition may not be in their favor. And, okay, so anyway, thanks for that. Thanks for doing the review on iTunes as well. Got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, I'll take a look at it. Of course, I'm testing the new WordPress myself. So if I can see the sandbox version, I might see some issues. I have decided, though, to wait for implementing WordPress. I'm thinking of waiting for WordPress Multi-User 2.7. That way I can join a lot of my websites. Yeah, I think it's going to be coming soon, and I'll send you out the review of GNC. Jim, I'll send you a copy of GNC as well. Joe, I'll send that. Michael, I'll be sending the review of the new site. Got an email from Yitz. He says, hey, Todd, that's the sound you heard that played from the website was due to you running the mouse over one of those smiley face advertisements. The mouse over caused the animated smiley to say different things. So as far as CC Cleaner, I use it all the time. It's one of the programs that Mike Smith at Mike Tech Show talks about all the time and uses as well. And yet I tried it already. Love it. It did a great job cleaning up a bunch of stuff. Got an email from Mark. He says, hey, Ted, I was wondering if you've ever heard of SpinRite. And if you have, what's your opinion of it? I'm looking at a software to recover a hard drive and get some data off it. What do you use for data recovery? Thanks, Mark. Mark, I think SpinRite's a great program. If the drive is still can be, you'll know very quickly when you use SpinRite if the drive is at all recoverable. If it's really bad, if it's something mechanically has went wrong, you may have to send the drive off someplace to have the data recovered manually. Basically, they go in and fix the drive or put it in, put the spindles into a drive that works. Yep, I'm very familiar with SpinRite. As far as I know, I haven't used it in years. It used to be a great application. And Ron, yes, yes, you did guess right, my friend, on what I'm going to be revealing on the 24-hour podcast. You were the first. And I think there's one other person that came pretty close. So go ahead and move on here. Tim says, hey, Todd, how are you doing? I was just curious, who was the voice for the opening of the GNC podcast? Did you scour Honolulu for the perfect voice or just made one of your family members do it? Also, who was the voice during the two previous podcasts with the other guy? Anyway, just wishing you and your family the best and a Merry Christmas. Regards, Tim. Hey, Tim, the On the Road podcast intro is Trucker Tom, and the folks that did my that does my intro is a couple out of actually a great couple, some great friends of mine that I'm friends with now. Didn't know them before I started podcasting. They're at audiocollective.com, and the gal that she whipped that together on a night she wasn't feeling good, and they're out of Jackson, Michigan. So you can find them at Audio Collective. That's who does the intro voice that everyone is very familiar with at this time. And again, the one that's where my travel is with Trucker Tom. You can find him at Trucker Tom Podcast. I want to thank Jerry for his iTunes review. I want to thank, I got an email from Johan, and he's with Neuros. And Neuros has been a good supporter of the show in the past. He says, we've just announced our first series of bounties for the Neuros link. Let me know if you have a suggestion for a new one. So I have this link up in the notes, the show notes for you all to check out. Got an email from Darren. Darren's just getting the show number 425. And he says, hey, Todd, on 425, yes, I got behind. You asked us to let us know where we are receiving our entertainment/information from. Well, About a year and a half ago, I decided that I would start experimenting with lifestyle technology centered on the internet, voice IP streaming, video, etc. At the time, I had a landline and DSL from AT&T, TV from Dish TV with a DVR, and Verizon wireless cell phones. I was spending approximately $230 a month. I first started with voice IP. I had previously used Vonage when I had cable-based internet. It worked great, but my cable company increased the cost of the internet service, and AT&T gave me $400 to switch back to them. I wanted to try something else, so I went with Skype, purchased the Philips VoIP 841 Skype phone, which does not require a computer, and signed up for unlimited Skype out, a Skype in number, and Skype VM. The Philips phone plugs into my router and also supports a regular landline. My wife did not realize was that all of the outbound calls were going on Skype. In fact, people would comment how much better our calls were, so I built my confidence in Skype being able to handle our needs for outbound calls. Next, I want to get rid of Dish TV. Over the summer, we moved into a new house. I decided to begin the next phase of my experiment. Besides electricity, the only other utility I get is internet via Charter Communications. I'm on a well and septic, so in other words, he's out in the country. He's not on city lines. He said, so our phone service is provided entirely by Skype and the Philips phone. I also canceled Dish and use nothing but internet video sites like Hulu, TV Land, ABC, CBS, NBC, YouTube, VO, GodTube, etc. I have 5 kids at home, ranging from 6 to 16. We have more than enough to watch and keep entertained. I purchased a 42-inch LCD and hooked the living room computer up to it. We do not miss Dish TV one bit. I'm saving about $90 a month, so my TV purchases will be paid off in less than a year. We still have our cell phones, which is important for emergency since Skype Out does not support 911 service. On a side note, I also have a Chumby in the bedroom and wake up everyone each morning to an internet radio station. I go to bed most nights listening to podcasts or internet radio. I listen to podcasts pretty much all day while at work and subscribe to approximately 50 podcasts, 90% of which are tech-based. Todd, love the show and been a member of the Hana since show number 33. Merry Christmas, Darren in Simpsonville, South Carolina. Darren, hey, thanks for being like a super member of the Ohana. Show number 33. Congratulations for being one of our longtime listeners of the show. I definitely appreciate you staying subscribed, and thanks for sharing that great info. Great way to save money. Great lesson there for everyone in this budget-concerning times. Absolutely. Go on. Evan says, hey, Todd, is your mystery delivery something along of a display, such as a smart board, a large computer screen? Evan, not quite. I got an email from Sam. Hey, Sam, I'll be sending you a copy of the new website. Do you look at? And I got an email from Richard. He says, Hey, Todd, I'm a freelance writer, not an employee, that has a syndicated weekly column in several newspapers. The column has been continuously updated weekly for 29 years, written by another freelance writer and myself. About 24 months past, I began to note that there were some changes in the staff of most papers because I wanted a contact with my readers. I began to search for a webpage where my readers could stay in contact if the local papers folded. Blogging was out of the question because of certain freelance contract limits. It was about that time that I discovered podcasts. I contacted the legal department of the newspapers if it would conflict with my contract to have a podcast webpage. I guess the legal department did not understand the new media and approved my podcast webpages. Since I started my podcast, all my editors and their staff have been changed, either discharged, transferred, or retired. My column is still being published, but I see that many of the papers have changed their method of payment for column submissions. In addition, my column over the years was about 700 words, but today they have cut it to about 300, apparently to save space. You had a listener talk about Chicago Tribune change to the newspaper layout format. Well, that change was made in several of the Tribune papers. The thinking was to make it more like a webpage, more friendly to the younger generation. The problem was that it neglected the news. Lead stories were only in a headline or a box that led to another page. Bright colors and flashy pictures dominated the front page. I'm not sure just where the newspapers are going, but I suspect that daily delivery to our driveway may not exist in a few years. I am afraid our children will not have printed news as we grew up reading. If anyone asked me, I would advise the papers to be in the cell phone business. That's probably true. I think the younger generation don't care about paper. You know, I really don't think they do. It's one of those things I think they don't care about. So, hey, thanks everyone for your great comments. We're rolling up here on an hour 15. And I hope you come hang out with me on Saturday. It'll be a true test of my endurance to do 24 hours. Luckily, I don't have to talk the full time. We're going to have lots of people to do other talking. I can do a lot of questioning and answering. We have a lot of sharing. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you get your Christmas shopping done, tune in for 3 or 4 hours, 5, 6, 10, or even the full 24. I'd definitely love to have you with me for the event. It's going to be a family affair. We're going to have a great time. Lots of great things just to talk about. And, you know, we can cover a lot of ground in 24 hours, and I hope you'll be there with me. I will give you caution. There will be 1 hour of the 24-hour podcast that is not child safe, okay? So there will be 1 hour that, and you'll see it in the listing. It happens pretty late, and I put it in there late for a reason, but it will not be child safe for an hour of the 24-hour show. It's well, it's not too bad, but it's definitely not out safe. But anyway, until Saturday, when we start the 24-hour podcast at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, 6 a.m. Honolulu, or GMT-10. That's where I'm at, folks, in the world map. GMT-10, for those of you that are listeners overseas, I hope that you tune in for the 24-hour podcast. Just come over to geeknewscentral.com. All the instructions will be there, and we'll have a good time. So until then, everyone take care, and aloha.